It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Happy Monday. I am Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. And it's another week, Steve. How you doing on this? You ready to go?
Did you just say happy Monday?
I did.
Speaking for a lot of other people out there, we're gonna track you down.
Mr. Bah Humbug. We've got a great show planned for you today. In studio with me is my friend Juliana Day. Juliana, it's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Always happy to be here.
And you are a woman of great passion, and you are working on something, a due date too late, that we'll talk about in the second segment, but it is so great to have you here.
Thank you.
So and then in this third and fourth segment, we'll be talking with Rob Nadelson. You know him. He is with the Independence Institute. He's like the director of constitutional studies there. And he's written a couple of really important pieces. One of them is how we are manipulating ballot language. And Steve, it's on the website now, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com, my voter's guide. And basically, if something starts with the words without raising taxes, or if you see deep in the ballot language, Article 10, Section 20, and that means that they're going to try to de-tabor your tax refunds on any of these ballot issues, vote no. And so that's what you can use as your litmus test for all of these local school board elections, all of these county elections, and that is if you see without raising taxes or deep within the language, Article 10, Section 20, just vote no, because you've got PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties scheming of ways to keep money for their government programs and their pet projects instead of refunding your Tabor tax refunds to you. And we give them a very generous formula to grow government of population plus inflation. We say if there's revenues above that, then you need to get that back to the people. So that's the litmus test on that.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
In your voter's guide, how far-reaching is that in a geographic sense? How far?
Well, I looked at all. I looked at all of the Front Range counties.
That's it. Okay.
But I did not come out and look at each particular. I didn't say each particular issue. You're going to have to do a little bit of work. So if it starts without raising taxes, which I think both the Douglas County and the Jeffco tax questions start with those words, and as well as Prop CC starts with those words, then that is a big no.
Take this up with Rob here in another 30 minutes. That's the language right up front. Without raising taxes, it's a hook.
It is a hook. And then I'm also a no on DD. So no on CC and no on DD. If you go to my website, kimmunson.com, I went through, I've given you five reasons in the spirit of the Federalist Papers to make a case for why you should vote no. So get your brains around that. And that, again, is at kimmunson.com. As we look at issues, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether with a weapon policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation. We do realize that, you know, there are some things that we need to be taxed for, but excessive and unpredictable taxation is another way that socialism creeps into our society. And through all these rules and regulations, we continue to see the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, and data. And we need to be moving these back to more free market. Steve, it's great to have you here on a Monday morning. It would not be very good if I walked in and you weren't here.
That would be interesting.
It would be very interesting. So thank you for being here.
Let's not cross that bridge.
Let's not cross that bridge. And thanks to Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie for your support, your good work. And thank you to all you listeners out there. You are treasured. You're valued. You've got a purpose today. Strive for excellence and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. So again, Voter's Guide is out. That is at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can always email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And really excited. There is something in a couple of weeks that is going to be occurring. It's going to be November 1st. And there is a movie. It is No Safe Spaces. It's November 1st. It's going to be in Denver at the Highlands Ranch AMC 24. And Justin Folk, I met him at one of the Vino and Veritas. He is the filmmaker. And they are going to be opening this throughout the country. And so it's really important to have a show to show up for this screening of this. And they talk about there's a difference between liberals and leftists. Many liberals are concerned about the lack of diversity of ideas on college campuses. College's campuses are the most dangerous places in America for free thought, free speech, and free expression. But the pendulum looks like it's starting to swing back from this far-left radical movement. You're seeing this. Dave Chappelle had a special that he really kind of handed it to the political correctness. And so you're starting to see comedians push back on that. And so very excited about the showing of No Safe Spaces, featuring Dennis Prager, Adam Carolla, Jordan Peterson, and others. And the Denver debut is Friday, November 1st at the Highlands Ranch AMC 24. And if you're interested in tickets at this point, email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and we'll get that arranged. And we'll be talking with Justin, I think, on Wednesday morning, which will be terrific. Now, going back to the Voter's Guide, I am a no on CC. And if you need a reason to vote no on Proposition CC, we have hundreds of millions of reasons. They're all related to corporate welfare. Now, if the state needs more money, why are tax incentives and credits, grants, et cetera, given to corporations? According to Good Jobs First Colorado Tracker, the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade, through the Enterprise Zone, this is just one of the things where they do these giveaways, offered 55 awards as a tax credit rebate to Union Pacific, which is a freight hauling railroad and the second largest system in the United States, in the amount of $11,215,000 during the years 2011 to 2017. Adding this to our previous total, the grand total for offers accepted by corporations given subsidies by Colorado state agencies, Steve, are you ready for this? It's $184,891,000. Now, please note that we know that Union Pacific and these other companies we're discussing are successful companies. Our point is that these companies do not need government money to maintain their success. We believe that the free market should stand alone without any government interference. So make it a fair market. It is better to cut taxes across the board without any preferential treatment for chosen companies that allows government to pick winners and losers. So you have to ask, how is it that the big guys, looks like they're in bed with these PBIs? You know, maybe I shouldn't say that. You know, if in fact government is going around offering this, you know, it's pretty difficult to say no. We need to stop these PBIs from doing this, Steve.
Well, most of the people I, you know, in the circles that I swim in, they already know how to handle CC. They figured that out.
Uh-huh.
But I tell them this thing that we've been tracking now for 2 weeks. I guess we're going into our third week. And they're fascinated because maybe not everyone knows about this government giveaway, this corporate welfare thing. Mm-hmm. But when I explain it to them, it's like, do you see how these two things are moving in opposing directions?
Well, and it actually, it's going to add up. CC, I was reading, doing some research on it this weekend, and it looks like over 3 years, the amount for a family could be refunds of up to $683. And bear in mind, these PBIs have taken money out through the hospital provider fee, and by renaming taxes fees, that amount should be significantly more. $684, that makes a difference for a little family. You know what?
It does. And I think I talked about this before. It's somewhat related. I just renewed my vehicle registration. And this particular county I live in does a nice job of breaking down all the fees, one right after another. And I was like, you guys, you are incredibly audacious.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to describe it.
Hey, you should bring that in. We should talk about that one.
Especially for a vehicle that's 23 years old.
Bring that in. Let's talk about that one of these mornings, okay?
You got it.
Okay. So let's, for our quotes and for our inspiration and also for our Adam Carolla, who was in the movie, No Safe Spaces, is also a comedian. So first of all, for inspiration, he said, the truth is we're all probably more creative than we realize, except we spend our lives watching TV or reading somebody else's book. We never pick up a brush and stand in front of our own easel. I really love that, Steve. I thought that was pretty cool.
You find the good ones.
And Adam Carolla, he's an American comedian, radio personality, television host, actor, podcaster, and director. He hosts The Adam Carolla Show, a talk show distributed as a podcast which set the record as the most downloaded podcast as judged by the Guinness World Records in 2011. So here is some of his funnies. He says, are you ready for this one, Steve and Juliana? Here we go. Number one, you shouldn't be eating anything that takes 6 minutes to microwave. Number two, whoever is for higher taxes, feel free to pay higher taxes.
Amen.
And lastly, speaking of sleeping bags, has anything ever had a less creative name? And I tell you what, I never hardly ever sleep well in a sleeping bag. I just thought that was funny. So, okay, let's go to break. I'm going to go to break early so we can get to Juliana Day, who is in studio, about this very important movement that she's working on, Due Date Too Late. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
For individuals 62 and older, it is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Welcome back. I am Kim Munson, and this is the Kim Munson Show. And thrilled to have in studio with me Juliana Day. Juliana, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
You know, it was, when I hear you speak, it's like I wish you had a little passion. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Peru, Lima, Peru, and I've been in the United States for 18 years. My life in Peru was a combination of good memories and also very difficult times. When I was born, Peru was in the hands of a leftist dictator that nationalized industries and that jailed dissenters. I limit opportunities for everybody. My adulthood years were very difficult too, because even though Peru returned to democracy, but the ideas of establishing some kind of a centrally planned economy made very difficult for anyone to succeed in improve.
Just a question. On a centrally planned economy, there's typically not a middle class, right? It's kind of the haves and the have-nots. Right?
Yes, and that made it very difficult for my family. My dad was a businessman, and my mom used to work for the Labor Department. So we were a middle-class family. But with this type of policies, well, the middle class in Peru completely disappeared. It was just the poor and the ones that were very wealthy. So there was a lot of struggles. There were price controls. And I clearly remember when I was a teenager just waking up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and going to the market with my mom and trying just to get the basics. We're talking about rice and sugar, forget about it. Proteins, very difficult to get. And since Peru was hit by hyperinflation, wow, it was the prices would change by the hour. So,
And what you mentioned, price control, of course, that's a knee-jerk reaction to all this central planning. But when we talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom, whenever you hear the words control or mandate, that has force all over it, and there's typically not good results. So I just wanted to make that point because you said, I mean, and you probably had to stand in line to try to get these basics at the market, right?
Yes, 4 hours.
So then you couldn't be productive going out and creating a business.
Yeah, we were a family of six. So when we're talking about just putting food on the table, for me, it's such a blessing. I don't take that for granted. Mm-hmm. And I want Americans, if my message is this morning, it's about freedom, to understand how important it is to have freedom in a country. Because when there are oppressive measures, there's a lot of limitations and there's a lot of difficulties. There are no opportunities anymore.
Equal misery.
Exactly. And one of the things that sometimes I like to mention is that when I was in Peru, it was always my verbs, the way I was expressing myself and I was having these conversations with my friends, it was always in present time, the present time. But when I came to the U.S., you dream. Oh. It's about just thinking about the future, always using those verbs in terms, okay, mm-hmm. I want to do this, and I have these dreams, and I have these opportunities, I have these possibilities. Unfortunately, when you are living under this control, I'm not going to say that Peru was a socialist country, but a few ideas were filtering into, you know, just making inroads, and it limits any kind of opportunities. And that's why I feel so strongly and so passionate about freedom. And I'm going to do whatever it takes just to preserve it.
I know that you are. So how did you get here?
Well, I came here because with a visa, a tourist visa. Uh-huh. I was visiting the United States. And it was here that I met the one that will be my husband.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got married and I started a new life. I started from pretty much zero with English. It was very difficult. And so I completely understand the struggles of immigrants when they come to the U.S. and they want to start a new life and they cannot speak the language. But it requires a lot, but it's... My message also is for everybody to get assimilated. American people are incredible people. And just to learn about the foundation of this country is just incredible. Just the legacy mm-hmm. that the United States has given to the entire world about those principles.
How did you learn this, Juliana Day?
Well, little by little, I would say. Yeah, I was always fascinated about the foundation of this country. If I have to take it from the very beginning, I would say my dad was a strong influence in my life. My dad was born in 1928. He experienced the horrors, of course, from afar, but the horrors of World War II. And since I was very little, my dad was... instilling those values about freedom. He will start telling me, hey, look at the United States. It's incredible, the role of the American soldier. They always fight for freedom. And that everything started from that point. So when I came to the U.S., and start just learning little by little, start learning more about U.S. history, I became fascinated by the principles. This is a unique country, no doubt about it. And then it was, of course, reinforced when I attended LPR recently.
Leadership Program in the Rockies.
Yes. They teach you a lot about that stuff. Yeah.
Right. I also attended that. And so let's talk about, first of all, we have a responsibility, Juliana. We have a responsibility to pass on something good to the next generation. And I know that that is on your heart big time. But you're doing something now, talking about the next generation, this due date too late. Tell us about that.
When I found out about the abortion status in the state of Colorado, I was very surprised how extreme.
I was too.
And what is even more surprising to me is that a lot of people in the state have no idea that this is the case, that a baby can be aborted up to birth. So there are no restrictions at all. So when I saw that possibility of sponsoring an initiative like this one, Initiative 2020, I said, okay, I'm all in. So what this initiative is intended to do is to restrict abortions, late-term abortions, at 22 weeks. And with the exception when the life of the mother is threatened. And I think it's very reasonable. When I've been talking to a lot of pro-choice and pro-life people, they accept, there's pretty much a consensus that it should be some kind of restrictions.
Well, absolutely. So what you're doing, this is an initiative that you are going to try to get on the ballot that basically says no abortions in Colorado after 22 weeks. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the case.
And I was actually shocked when I realized that Colorado does allow abortions right up to birth. Now, this last weekend, I was with some people, and I actually saw the ultrasounds at 22 weeks. I would submit that there's hands, there's feet, there's movement. You know, I'm pretty sure the baby feels pain. Ideally, I think I probably would like to have it even more restrictive. So I think that this is at least a step in the right direction. You know, it seems like a compromise to some degree, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Right. This is something that a lot of people in Colorado, I already talked to pro-choice and pro-life, and they agree there should be some restrictions. Now, we're talking about, with all the advances of fetal development and science and ultrasound, definitely you can see that the brutality of abortion, of late-term abortion. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, my heart is with children, my heart is with women, and
it hurts dads, too.
I was about to mention that, too, because I have talked to a few men, and even though many times they don't feel comfortable talking about these issues, but it's affecting them as well. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to put some restrictions and just to show that we are compassionate, too. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of suffering. When I talk to women, there's psychological, physically, and emotional suffering, and it's about time that we start just having this national debate.
An honest conversation about this. Okay, so are you trying to get this on the ballot for the 2020 election? Is that what's...
Yes, we need about 125,000 signatures.
Now, is that throughout the state, throughout each district?
Yes, throughout the state. Okay. There's no limitations.
Okay.
So, yeah. So throughout the state, and to put it on the 2020 ballot.
What's your time frame to get those?
The deadline is March 4th.
Okay. How's it coming along?
Oh, great.
You have a bunch of volunteers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, people are very excited. And if they want to help and participate in any way, this is the website, doodaytoolate.com.
Okay.
Or they can send me a text message and they can call me. My cell phone number is 720-899-0897.
Okay, again, that's 720-899-0897, 720-899-0897, and they can send you a text message there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm at Due Date Too Late, and how can people sign this? I see a petition circulator form, so what is that exactly?
If you want to volunteer gathering signatures, you go on the website and you enter your information and we can send you the petitions. And
you know, Juliana, I think women and men have been told this big lie by Planned Parenthood. You know, I remember back when Roe v. Wade was in the Supreme Court. Planned Parenthood said that this is just a bunch of tissue, this doesn't really matter. But now, like you say, with science, with ultrasounds, we realize that men and women for a generation or two have been told a lie about this, and it is time that we have an honest conversation about this. If we are a compassionate society, we cannot be doing late-term abortions in America. We just can't.
Yeah, it's very difficult that people can accept late-term abortions. And a baby is already viable. A baby is a pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
And it can, and it feels pain too.
Yeah,
that's one of the critical things. And you know that one time I was talking to this pro-choice woman, and that was the first question she asked me, when is it that a baby feels pain? So now there's a lot of evidence that and studies done, and it's a 20th or before, 20th
20 weeks.
Weeks or before. Yeah. So
this is a step in the right direction. So that's doodaytoolate.com, doodaytoolate.com. Juliana Date, thank you so much for your passion, for your love of America, and for standing up for children and women and men. I greatly appreciate it. So again, that's doodaytoolate.com.
Thank you. Yeah. Please feel free to send me a text message or an email. My personal email is Juliana Day, GiulianaDay, Day, 33@gmail.com. Or register just on the website, doodaytoolate.com.
And you
help
can get in contact with them.
Yeah, because we need an army of volunteers, and get the word out, because that's going to be critical. And just to make sure people understand, this is late-term abortion that we're going to try to ban in the state. It's when a baby feels pain, when a baby is viable. And this is something that, like I said, I have encountered, I have talked to a lot of people, pro-choice, pro-life, and there's a general consensus that we should put some restrictions, because Colorado is one of the most extreme states in the United States. There are only 7 states in the U.S. that accept this type of procedures.
You know, it's amazing to me, Juliana, and then we're going to get over here to Jason McBride, but sometimes it seems to me in our society that we care about more about puppies than we do babies, you know. And I both, you know, they're both living beings and they're God's creation. But it's just kind of mind-boggling to me that sometimes we care a lot more about puppies than we do about babies.
Well, Planned Parenthood, like you were mentioning, is perpetuating this lie. It's just a bunch of tissues and that nothing is going to happen. But if you just go into the details, how much this is affecting a woman too. There's a lot of pain.
I know it does.
There's a lot of risk. Perforation of the cervix, hemorrhage, and when I talk to people, especially women, when they have confided on me their stories of abortions, they are doing it crying.
I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotional pain. So your compassion, Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman. They are pro-money.
Yes, that is totally right. So, because they're coming in with $45 million in the election against Cory Gardner. So they're all about money. They're all about politics. So Juliana Day, thank you so much for being here. DueDateTooLate.com. Jason McBride, I know that you have a real heart for life as well.
Yes, absolutely. I like being alive, and I think I think little babies deserve to be alive too. And you know how fond I am of Juliana. I think she's a force of nature. It's too bad she was born in Peru, or else I'd vote for her for president.
you should see the look on her face on that, Jason. So hey, we've got Rob Nadelson on the line. We're going to go to him after break. But is there stuff, we're getting into the end of the year. Is there things that people should be thinking about now?
Well, one of the things is tax loss harvesting, Kim, and then being aware of what are called the wash sale rules. So, you know, as we get closer to the end of the year, if you have a, let's say you own a stock that you bought that didn't go the direction you were hoping, but maybe you still think it's going to come back someday, a lot of times people will sell stuff that's down to create a tax loss to offset some gains they may have taken earlier in the year. And there are some rules around this. So, Kim, if you sell a stock that's down, you can't buy it back for 30 days. If you buy back the same stock within 30 days, then you're not allowed to use the loss in the year that you took the loss. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, so also, you can't sell and then buy back a substantially identical stock. So an example of that might be, let's say you have some Berkshire Hathaway Class A stock that you sell at a loss. You can't go buy the Berkshire Hathaway Class B because that would be considered substantially identical. Now, here's a weird one, though. You can sell, like, the SPY. That's an exchange-traded fund that just tracks the S&P 500, and then immediately turn back around and buy, like, the Vanguard ETF that tracks the S&P or the Schwab one that tracks the S&P, and the IRS doesn't consider that to be substantially identical, which I think is kind of strange.
It is kind of strange, but the IRS is always, I think, kind of strange.
Yeah.
on Jason McBride. So, you know, if people want to start looking into these strategies, we're all coming in on November. We're going to be there soon. So sit down with you, your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management, and have a discovery session so you can discover ways to make sure that you are optimizing your economic well-being. So Jason McBride, that phone number is 303-694-1600, right?
That's correct. It didn't change over the weekend as far as I know.
Okay, 303-694-1600. Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, thanks. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Rob Nadelson has done an excellent piece regarding the ballot language manipulation. And there's a lot of that going on in Colorado this election season. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we have Rob Nadelson on the line. He is he's been a professor of constitutional studies. He's cited by many Supreme Court justices, federal judges. He is the head of the Independence Institute's Constitutional Studies Center. He is an author of the original Constitution, what it meant. And so it's just great to have you on the line with us, Rob Nadelson.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Good. I didn't get that title of that book quite right. What is that exactly?
The original Constitution, what it actually said and meant. And also, I have a book out on the Constitution's amendment process called The Law of Article 5.
Okay. I don't know where you get the time to do all of this, because you're in the Epic Times, you're in Complete Colorado, you're everywhere. So, but you've written a very important piece on how Colorado officials manipulate ballot language to get what they want. The case is the Jeffco Issue 1A. So talk to us about that, Rob Nadelson.
Well, it's not limited to Jeffco Issue 1A. It also afflicts Proposition CC, which is a statewide measure. And I've got an article coming out in Complete Colorado. I suspect it'll be published today on that subject. Just to clarify for folks, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights is part of the Colorado Constitution. It was added to the Colorado Constitution by a vote of the people in 1992. And it provided for general limitations on state fiscal decisions, on financial decisions. And it does that in a number of different ways, but one important way is to require a vote before taxes can be raised in most cases, not all cases. Also require a vote before the state can go into debt in some most cases, not all cases. And also require a vote when government exceeds certain spending limits. Now, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, the authors recognized that when officials want a measure to pass, they will sometimes campaign for it on public resources.
I know.
And they will also design the language of the issue to skew the election. So what the Taxpayer Bill of Rights did is they said for measures that increase debt or increase taxes, we're going to require a certain specified ballot language. But for one reason or another, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights did not include ballot language for increasing spending beyond the normal level. And this might have been, Kim, because the original understanding was that spending waivers, in other words, spending beyond the authorized level, would never last more than 4 years under the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. Well, the next part of the story is that in 2002, the Colorado Court of Appeals decided a case called Havens versus Board of County Commissioners of Archuleta County, in which they said, well, no, actually the four-year cap doesn't apply. We're going to allow a waiver from spending limits to last forever.
Mm.
Well, this promised an enormous pack of goodies to the spenders. And so they went to work more busily than ever, mm-hmm. manipulating the ballot language in these elections to waive the spending caps. And we've seen many examples of that, but the two most recent examples are, as you said, Jefferson County Issue 1A and also Proposition CC at the state level.
And also Douglas County Ballot Issue 1A. And to that point, I want to say—
I haven't—
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well,
I haven't looked at that one, so I can't discuss that one.
Okay, the first words are without raising, and this is interesting, without raising additional taxes. Now, I've not seen that one. That's a new manipulation. But that's on ballot issue 1A in Douglas County.
What they tend to do and what they do in both Jeffco 1A and with statewide Proposition CC is they'll start off by saying without raising taxes. And that itself is simply misleading and untrue. What they mean is they're not raising the tax rates, But as you know, a tax burden is not just the subject, not just the product of the rate. It also includes such things as, you know, how many deductions do I get? Do I get credits? Do I get exemptions of various kinds? If the feds were to suddenly take away your right to deduct mortgage interest and you got a mortgage, they'd be increasing your taxes even if the rate itself didn't change. And so what happens in all these measures is that they take away refunds of excess spending, refunds that would go to the voters. Usually those refunds are given in the form of credits, although they can be given in the form of checks. And so when they take away those credits or checks, they're raising the tax burden. So when you see those that language without raising taxes, that's almost invariably a falsehood. And then in both JEFCO 1A and in statewide Proposition CC, the falsehoods just keep rolling after that.
Well, that was my next question on the falsehoods. I read both Tabor, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, this weekend, as well as I read these initiatives as and on Prop CC, which that was referred by the legislature to the ballot. That's one of the ways that something can get on the ballot, or something can get on the ballot through the initiative process, which is what Juliana Day is doing with the due date too late. So this was referred by the legislature, and in the actual bill, it says that the money will be used for these things that, that people care about, and that is education and transportation. But I have been assured that Casey Becker, the House Speaker, said in the well of the legislature, as well as she actually said this to a friend of mine as well, that there is no way that a legislature can bind a future legislature on how they will spend the money. What's your thoughts on that? Because it's all over the act that was put into the, or, you know, referred to the ballot and also in the ballot. So that seems very deceptive to me, Rob.
It is deceptive. When you look at the ballot title on each one, it does look like money is being directed to particular things, as you said, people care about. However, JEFCO 1A has a provision at the end which says that in addition, the money can be spent on anything county government traditionally spends money on. So that's the end of that. In the case of CC, it doesn't say that, the statewide measure, it doesn't say that. But because referendum CC is only a statute, the next legislature can change it. There are any number of things that they can do. One thing they've done in the past is they'll spend a little tiny amount of the money on the advertised purposes and then spend all the rest on something else. Another thing they can do is they will cut the appropriation that would have gone to the things people care about, and then they'll say, well, we didn't cut it because we backfilled it. That's the legislative expression. We backfilled it with money from referendum CC. That actually happened when referendum C was passed, the kind of the granddaddy of CC. Then the other thing is they can simply ignore the ballot language altogether because this is not a constitutional amendment. When you read the ballot language, you can see that the authors in each case very carefully structured it to lead the voters to believe that by eliminating the cap on spending, they were also targeting that spending to certain things like transportation or education, but they're not. They're not targeting it at all. Every legislative session, the legislature makes new decisions as to whether to spend the money, and not only isn't the voters' direction binding, it would be very strange if it were binding because every legislature changes the way it targets money.
Okay, well, we're going to go to break, but I have two questions that I would like you to answer. First of all, there's been this significant redefinition of words. So fees was never addressed in Tabor, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. My understanding is because they said, well, you know, you don't want to have the library have to go to the voters to increase fees for late books. Well, I tell you what, the PBIs, the politicians, the bureaucrats, and the interested parties figured out a way to get around having to ask the hardworking people of Colorado if they could, you know, keep excess revenues above a very generous formula of government growing of population plus inflation. And the other thing, I don't quite understand how we can be voting on something that's in the Constitution without a constitutional amendment. I don't quite understand that either. So let's go to break, Rob Nadelson, and I'd appreciate it if you would answer those two questions. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You only have a few days left for three scary movies under the stars. The 88 Drive-In Theater will close for the season Thursday, October 24th. So get there now. Open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, see an independent film that takes place in a drive-in theater. 47 hours, rated R, followed by Joker and Rambo Last Blood. Admission is only $9 per person and includes all three features. Get directions now at 88drivein.net.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. We are talking with Rob Nadelson. He is a constitutional expert. He is a professor, a former professor of constitutional studies, as well as he is the head of the constitutional, what is that exactly, Rob? I've got it right here.
Constitution Studies Center of the Independence Institute.
At the Independence Institute. And you've got a piece that you said is going to be coming out in Complete Colorado Today. Your publications are all over. You've had Supreme Court justices cite your work as well as federal judges. And so you know what you're talking about. So a question that I asked you before we went to break, how is it that we can have a referred measure from the legislature that is statutory that is going to change an amendment that's in the Constitution? How does that work?
Okay, to understand how that worked, you have to know something about the very complicated Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And I'll tell you, Kim, if you've read my book on the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, I'm not an uncritical fan of it. There are some real problems with the drafting of it. The way it's structured, as I mentioned, is that you have mandatory referenda, mandatory public votes on most tax increases, on most debt increases, and then also on spending increases beyond a particular formula. Now, the way the measure was originally drafted, there was a provision there to allow the voters of a jurisdiction, of a town or a city or whatever, to allow the voters of a jurisdiction to lift the spending caps temporarily for 4 years. So that is actually authorized by the Constitution. But as I mentioned, the courts have misinterpreted that to say that once the voters have agreed to lift the spending caps, that they never get another chance. It's forever. And so gradually what is happening is that all over the state, different governments are convincing voters to lift the spending caps once, and then it's forever. And that's what Proposition 1A or Issue 1A is about in Jefferson County, which when you read it is another example of misleading ballot language. It looks like it's a maximum for 7 years, but most of it is in fact permanent. And so it is authorized by the state constitution that we vote to lift spending caps. The problem is that we never get another chance because of the misconstruction of the courts. Now, the other question you asked me is about fees. Do you want me to address that?
Please, Kim? Do.
Okay. Many fees are simply taxes. Some are not. When I go to a state park to go hiking, I pay a fee. That's not a tax. That's a voluntary payment for services rendered. But most fees really are taxes. And when I was at the University of Montana Law School, I sponsored, along with many others, a measure which was, I think, a better form of Tabor. And we actually had a definition of fees in the measure, and it was approved by the people of Montana. What the decision in Tabor was made, however, was to simply leave the definition of fees to the courts, because the courts had already worked out a definition, and that was a charge imposed on a particular group for a service used by that group. Well, what they didn't take into account is the fact that the courts can change their definition of fees, and that's what the court did. And today, a fee is basically anything that the government wants it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the Secretary of State has the authority to unilaterally increase its business charges to meet whatever expenses it wants to meet. And the court has said very recently this year that that's just essentially just a fee, or just something can be raised according to a formula that's been previously authorized. So so then the other thing that happened was the creation of these permanent elections to waive the spending caps, and so an additional control on fee revenue went out the window. Today, really, Kim, there's not that much left of the taxpayer bill of rights. I mean, it's probably 25% of mm-hmm. what it was originally, and you see in Ref CC and Proposition Issue 1A attempts to eliminate what little is left of it.
You know, it seems awfully greedy on the part of PBI's politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, because so much of the revenue has been taken out of the calculation for the Tabor revenue limits to try to limit government. But I submit to you, it's still really important. Obviously, there's money there. Otherwise, they would not be making such an effort. And you mentioned something, Rob, and that is using public resources. So you see these different municipalities and counties and state, and it's kind of, first of all, they may put money forward to try to convince people to give up their Tabor tax refunds. But the other thing is there's another way that's around that, and that is, for example, like the Denver Chamber. A lot of different municipalities and counties are members of the Denver Chamber, so they pay dues to the Denver Chamber, and then the Denver Chamber comes out and takes, you know, stands on political issues. Typically these days, it's always for much bigger government. I've always thought it was the Chamber of Business, but I think it's getting to be the Chamber of Government down there. And so then they're using our tax dollars to try to convince us to give us more of their tax dollars. It's somewhat insidious to me, Rob Nadelson.
Yeah, this is a discussion we need. Of course, we have 5 minutes left in this show.
Right.
This is a discussion we need to have at greater length. You know, people think of the United States as a free country, and it still is relatively free. But ordinary people really are playing on a playing field that is heavily stacked against them. We see, as you mentioned, a great amount of government resources used to promote stuff that the government wants. We see the idea of people having their own private property or private lives constantly shrinking. When we have referenda, it seems never to be on reducing taxes. It's always increasing taxes, increasing government spending. It's like it's a one-way ratchet. And then there's another thing going on, which I think very few people are aware of the magnitude of, but it is absolutely stupendous in its size. And that is the amount of the extent to which Americans are propagandized by their own government.
Mm-hmm.
If you think, for example, the new environmentalist religion, or words like sustainability, or the messages being propagated in the public schools, or the constant drumbeat we hear about going green, they're not talking about free enterprise. I mean, there are ways to protect the environment through mechanisms of free enterprise, but that's not what they're talking about. They're always talking about more and more and more government control. And the extent of the propaganda paid for by tax dollars or paid for by institutions with close connections with government is absolutely stupendous. It's almost like something out of the Soviet Union, and it's something that we obviously need to be very, very concerned about. But again, that's a topic for another show.
That is going to be a topic for another show, and I think maybe you should write about that as well, Rob Nadelson.
The topic is so large, Kim, that it's very hard to deal with. Think, for example, drive through Wyoming someday. I mention that because it's a relatively sparsely populated area, and listen to all the public service announcements. All the public service announcements, just a constant drumbeat of basically government-sponsored propaganda from the Department of Commerce, the Department of Education, the Department of this, the Department of that. It's amazing. It really is.
Well, it truly is. And so I feel the pendulum is starting to swing back. There's going to be this movie November 1st, No Safe Spaces, at the Highlands Ranch AMC Theater with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. So if you want more information about that, email me, kim@kimmunson.com. Rob Nadelson, thank you so much. It went very fast, but really appreciate your thoughts on this.
Thank you. And to summarize, no on RefCC. And if you live in Jefferson County, please no on issue 1A.
And no on any question on the ballot that starts with the words without raising taxes, or if you see deep within
it. It's not true.
It's not true. Or if you see deep within the language on the ballot, it says Article 10, Section 20, that's Tabor. That means they're going after Tabor. So vote no on both of those. Check out my voter's guide at Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. Rob Nadelson, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Juliana Day, so great to have you in studio as well with Due Date Too Late.
Thank you.
And so today our quote is from Adam Carolla. He says, I don't think health care is a right. The only right you have is the ability to go out on an even playing field and work and then purchase health care insurance or whatever it is. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.